verse where he says something and say, I've got to figure out what he means here with this one verse. Okay? Scripture proves Scripture. Okay? And that's why you'll see everything Paul says, he's consistent throughout his teachings. Peter is consistent in the message that he preached, which, by the way, as we all know here, is very different than the message for salvation that Paul preached. Okay, so what you would do is go to Acts 3:19. The next time Peter preaches the same message, which is a murder indictment. Okay, so in Acts 3:19, you'll get good clarity about this remission of sins. And when do they get that remission? Okay, exactly, and that's why we're going to let the Scripture show us this. Scripture proving Scripture. So Acts 3:19 further defines Acts 2:38. 3:19, Peter says, and again, actually let's just back up. Just so you see, this is a murder indictment. Let's go back to 3:14. So this is Peter talking, and he says, "But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are all witnesses." Okay, so again, he preaches a murder indictment. Now in 2:38, you know, all the men of Israel that are there, they say, well, what should we do? Okay, and that's, actually, let's go back to 2 and just finish this up. So 2:36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now watch verse 37. "Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then you get 2:38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Okay, murder indictment. Acts chapter 3, same thing, murder indictment. Okay, now let's go to 19 where he really defines this. When do they get that forgiveness of their sins? 3:19, "Repent ye therefore," the therefore would be because of what he just said in verses 4:14 to 18, okay, "and be converted that your sins will be blotted out today, because the times of refreshing are here from the presence of the Lord, and He has sent Jesus Christ." Okay, see, that's not what it says, but that's what it would have to say if he was going to say the same things that Paul preached. Not at all. So please make sure you read this correctly. "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Verse 20, "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Okay, so it's at the second coming, at the end of the tribulation period, that 7-year period of tribulation out there, that ends with the second coming of Christ. That's when these people have their sins blotted out. Okay? Now, let's still look at it further. Remission, we talked about it. I'm going to write these verses down for you on the board. It's interesting. By the way, the word remission, you do not find anywhere in the Old Testament. Okay, we're going to talk about atonement, and you find that all over the Old Testament. But the word remission, here's where it shows up. Okay, Matthew, if you want to write these down just so you have them, 26, 28. Mark 1, 4. Luke 177, 3, 24, 47. Acts, we just read that, 2:38. Also, when Peter's talking to Cornelius in 10:43. Romans, 3:25. And then twice in Hebrews, 9:22 and 10:22. 18. Okay? Well, I guess afterwards I'll have to have you come up and you can write it down. But Hebrews 9:22 and Hebrews 10:18. Usually when you're on the right, you can't go wrong, but you're on the right. Okay, and if you notice, how many times does Paul use a word? One time. Let's go there. Romans 3:25. Of course, this is a tough passage to just jump in and read one verse. Let's start in verse 20. No, let's start in verse 19. Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, pardon me, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, those two key words, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And here's our verse with remission in it. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through
absolute
forbearance
truth, brought
of God.
To you by Grace Bible.
Okay. Okay. Oh, is that? Okay. So in verse 25 there. Okay, and for all have sinned. Jews, Gentiles, all have sinned. Okay? But that remission can apply to all sins, because all have sinned. If we even went back to verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. If we back up to verse... Well, let's just go with 9. So what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. Okay, all have sinned. So even the sins that the Jews have committed in the past, okay, verse 25, for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Okay? So even when Paul is using the word remission here, he's not saying that he's not using it in term of eternal security. Okay, because he's at this point he's still talking about, and he's still really, remember, this is the first book that shows up, right? It's the first book where he's starting to present grace, but he's got to do a lot of back and forth between Old Testament, New Testament, Jews, Gentiles. Okay? All right? Let's flip ahead to the bottom two there. Again, Gene, that's Hebrews 9:22 and 10:18. Let's go to 9:22. So Hebrews 9 and verse 22. Here again, to really put this in context, we're going to start in verse 19. Hebrews 9, starting in verse 19. Remember, verse 22 is where the word remission will be. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law... Now watch what he does here, gang. Really, really visualize what's about to happen. According to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop. Now watch this. And sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Now, have you really gotten a visualization of what just happened there? People say, we talk about having a bloody religion. Holy smokes! There was blood all over the place. the people had to be covered with blood. The book had to be covered with blood. Everything in that tabernacle had to be covered with blood. Why? Let's read on. Verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding blood is no remission. It was there. I'm going to read all the way down to verse 28. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. Yeah, okay. Thank you. I turned it off when I was coughing there, and I thought I threw it back on, so thanks. Okay, so Exodus chapter 12, and just start in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of month. Actually, let me go to 21. 12:21. Then Moses, so the Lord gave him these instructions. Now we're going to read, tells the people what he was just told. 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel. Context, right? To whom is he speaking? The elders of Israel. And said unto them, draw out and take ye a lamb according to your families, and kill Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. And strike the lintel and the two side posts with blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood, all the way back here thousands of years ago, on the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And he shall observe this thing for to thee and to thy sons. How long? Forever. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, why was he going to Jerusalem just before he got killed? What was coming up? The Passover. It was celebrated all the way up there. Okay? There was never an instruction to stop. So, again, the point is, all the way back here, second book in the Bible, even to when Christ was on earth, there were daily sacrifices for the remission of sins, past. And I'm going to say it like, I hope I say this right. Think about the way the Catholics do this, okay? And I'm applying, I'm making an analogy of the Catholics to Old Testament, okay? So the Old Testament Jews had daily sacrifices to remit the sins that they committed that day, and they had the Passover every year, kind of that major one, and they had to do them. You know, this wasn't optional; they had to do them. And I'm just making an analogy of what the Catholics are trying to do with that. Okay, you got to go every Friday. You got to go see the Pope, right? Or once a week, you got to go see the Pope. Go see their priest. They say, and even there, he's. They think that he is pardoning their sins for the past week, but it doesn't do anything for the future. No Catholic, by their doctrine, would tell you that they have eternal security. Okay, so they're kind of mimicking Old Testament process. Now, again, it's still very wrong, and you know you cannot be saved by the doctrine of the Catholic Church. Okay. You can only be saved by the gospel of Christ. That when the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross and shed his blood, he shed it then to pay the penalty for how many of our sins? Colossians chapter 2. We're going to let the Bible tell us exactly how many? And by the way, Carlton, even going back to the original question, this will be another great one because, Peter will talk about forgiveness of sins past. Okay? Right here in 2:13, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." And you heard on the internet, you heard everybody in here yelling out "all" before we even got there. Okay? He forgave all trespasses in the gospel of Christ. The only gospel where it's forgiving all trespasses. Past, present, future. That's why in Ephesians chapter 1, 17, he can talk about when you believe you were sealed. Ephesians chapter 1. Let the Scripture do the talking, and sure enough, I was in the wrong verse. 13. "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Okay, you cannot lose your salvation. Okay, in this sense, if we apply it to that ticket at the beginning, yep, you got pardoned not just for the ticket you came here for, but all those tickets in the future, they're already forgiven. Making the analogy here, you understand. Okay, all trespasses, past, present, future, are forgiven with the gospel of Christ, in the dispensation of grace. That's what grace is. A great 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 is where I want to go. And in verse 6, Romans chapter 11, verse 6, he says, "And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." Okay? If you're saved by grace, you're kept by grace. If you're saved by works, you're kept by works. Okay? When Peter preached his gospel of the kingdom to people, did they have to continue to work for it? Every single day, right? Every single day. Peter? Ephesians 2, 1 through 5, absolutely. It would absolutely apply right there as well. Again, let's go to Peter. So we use 2:38. We use Acts 3:19. Okay, when your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come. Let's also go to 1 Peter. Now let's look at what Peter wrote back. First Peter 1, and you're going to see this matches 3:19 basically. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 9, and he says, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Okay? They can lose their salvation. They've got to continue to work for it all the way to the end. Hope to the end. Okay? So you see it there. Let's go back to Hebrews where we were reading in 9, chapter 9. So going back to remission now. So we read 9:22. The last one we had on here was Hebrews 10:18. And he says in Hebrews 10:18, "Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering from sin." Well, let's get this more in context. Let's get a few more verses in here. Okay? Let's back up to 15. Chapter 10, verse 15. Let's actually go back to chapter 10, verse 10. By which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make. So watch this now. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. Get the context. After those days. This is after the second coming. Okay, after those days. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Okay? Because Jesus Christ ended the sacrifices, right? So we're in the thousand-year reign. Okay? After the tribulation, second coming of Christ, we're in the thousand-year reign. You say, well, boy, that almost sounds like eternal security. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Okay? Well, Christ took that away. Well, let's just keep reading just a few more verses. Jump down here to verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. You got that? That's pretty clear, isn't it? It doesn't need any further explanation. They absolutely can lose their salvation in the book of Hebrews. Again, not part of the grace dispensation. Okay, not one of the books that Paul wrote. Okay, this is a future dispensation. So let's make sure we're clear on that. Verse 27, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Actually, two more verses. For we know him, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Okay, so you're getting the idea here of remission. Okay? Remission is not eternal security. It is not all the sins in the future. Okay, and that's why, as you'll see here, there's only one time that Paul uses it, and even the one time he used it, he was not referring to eternal security. Okay? So does that help us with that word remission? And you see, that took 35 minutes, or 30 minutes, and that's why I kind of put it off Sunday, Carlton, so we could come back and talk about it, because it's something we all need to know. You know, the quick answer, what I could have done quickly, if I had to do over again, or you know, next time somebody asks that question, you know, about 2:38, when Peter says, you know, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Okay, let's go to Acts 3:19, and he'll define it. Okay, when your sins may be blotted out, and maybe I'll go to 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 9 that we just read too, where Peter writes back and tells them that in writing. So you have what he says, you have what he writes, all three of them match. Hope to the end. At the end, at the second coming, is when your sins will be remitted. Okay? That's when their sins are covered. That's when their sins are blotted out. They can lose it. Okay? Questions on that? Because let's absolutely nail it.
This is an example where you have the same Greek word, but the King James translators, through maybe the Holy Spirit, had so much knowledge that they knew that the correct word was not forgiveness, even though that's what you'd look up in that concordance, yeah. But it was the remission. And that shows you sometimes why the King James is what, you know, we need to trust.
Amen,
more than
brother.
Even going back to the Hebrews and yeah. To the concordance.
Man, there go the goosebumps. Amen to that. And in case you couldn't hear that, I'm going to sum that up maybe a little bit different than what you said, but there are certain Greek words that the King James translators in our 400th year anniversary of the King James Bible, amazing how we haven't heard much about that at all, much fanfare at all. Matter of fact, I don't think I've heard a daggone thing, sad to say. Anyway, the same Greek word may be translated different ways in different passages, forgiveness, remission. And yes, I exactly believe what you just said there, that God working through those translators caused it to be translated those ways. It was exactly the way he wanted. It's perfect. Okay? Now, by the way, all of these, except for Romans, it's the same Greek word. Romans passage is a different Greek word. And I don't know anything about Greek, so I'm not going anywhere with that other than just to make that comment. And no, I'm not smart. It says that right there in that Strong's Concordance. All right? Again, you can learn things like that. All right. Atonement. First of all, let's go to the dictionary here and look at atonement. Okay, atonement. Okay, reconciliation after enmity or controversy. Okay? Two neighbors are having a fight and somebody gets involved, or they're having a quarrel. Somebody gets involved to help them reconcile their differences. Maybe it's a property line dispute, for instance. It may take a judge. It may take the legal system to help reconcile those two parties. Maybe it's a friend. How much better when a friend can do this, right? Or a third party that is in a position to be able to help those two parties reconcile. Anyway, you get the idea. Okay. The second one, expiation, satisfaction or reparation made by giving an equivalent for an injury, or by doing or suffering that which is received in satisfaction for an offense or injury. And Moses said to Aaron, the quote here, King James, go to the altar and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering and make an atonement for thyself and for the people. Okay? And what he goes on to say here is, when a man has been guilty of any vice, the best atonement he can make for it is to warn others not to fall into the same vice. Okay? So just to help us understand the definition. All right, the last definition here. In theology, the expiation of sin made by the obedience and personal sufferings of Christ. Atonement. Now again, the key is just like 3:19. When do you receive the atonement? Now, I'm not going to write all these down, but I did write some things down that are in Strong's Concordance. If you look up the word atonement, first of all, in just the books of Exodus through Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, okay, those few books, 76 times you see the word atonement. Wow. In the Old Testament altogether, there's 80 times. In the New Testament, and I'm talking Matthew through Revelation, one time. The word atonement. Well, let's go read that. It's probably a pretty good verse. It's in the book of Romans, chapter 5. And again, it's so key because it makes it about as clear as can be of when do you receive that atonement. Just like remission of sins with the church that Peter preached to, both when he was on earth, present to him. Okay, that church that was following the gospel of the circumcision, they would receive it at the second coming. Okay, in the books that are the doctrine for the tribulation, Hebrews through Revelation, they would receive the blotting out of sins at the second coming. Same with when are their sins, when do they receive the atonement? When do we receive the atonement? Romans chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, and this is a verse that will have the word atonement, And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Okay? The only place where it's a present tense and have now received it is in the writings of Paul, in the dispensation of the grace of God. Okay, that's the only place where it's a present atonement. And all these other 80 times, it's out there at the second coming of Christ. Those 80 times that were in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. Okay? It's amazing that 76 of them were between Exodus and Numbers. Okay, let's, while we're also here in Romans 5:11, again, let's let some Scripture prove Scripture. Let's go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. Now notice how verse 2 in chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 is set aside in parentheses. Okay, so you could just sort of take that verse aside for a second. You could go read verse 1, then read verse 3. Okay, because that's keeping the thought going. 2 is to define something in verse 1. Which is interesting because he says, so let's start in verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Now he decides he wants to explain that just a little bit further. So in verse 2 he puts it in parentheses. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Present tense. Again, you'll only see that with Paul. You'll only see that in the dispensation that we live in. Boy, do we live in the best dispensation out there. All right? So again, just letting Scripture prove Scripture. Those are good to write in your margins. Okay, Romans 5:11. We'll go with 2 Corinthians 6:2. Always nice to have another Scripture to go to. Again, something I would really encourage each of you to do. By the way, I'm going to start saying this at the beginning of things. If you're writing notes in your Bible, always, I would suggest you maybe put initials. Like for me, SG, Steve Gottberg. I was even talking with Brother Jerry Lockhart today. And I said, Jerry, I got it. Because you know, my Bible I've had for 28, 29 years. So, I mean, all the notes in here are over 28 years. And some of these notes, I wish I knew who it was that I was writing this down. I said, Jerry, this doesn't sound like something you would have said. He said, you better believe it. I said, okay, I think I know who it was. But I do wish I knew who it was. So anyway, just for what it's worth, if you're going to, especially if you do study under different people, you know, good to keep a little note there. You know, color code, you know, some people are really organized, but good to know who it is that you're, yeah, okay. I was going somewhere with this, so keeping notes in your margin, good to have Scripture proving Scripture, and where I was also going was having your own statement of faith, your own doctrine of faith. I mean, like I say many times, what do you believe and why? Okay, and that's not something you do one time and you're done. You know, believe it or not, you may add some things over time. You may change your mind on things. The key is, you've got to know what you believe because you see it in the Scripture. Okay? Don't take it because Steve Gottberg, because Barry Hampton, because Jerry Lockhart, anybody else preached it. Okay? You've got to see it in the Scripture. Okay? Don't be afraid to call somebody out or ask a question. You know, we had a question Sunday. Hey, make sure it's clear. Don't just say, okay, well, he said it. Okay, great. Man, that's true. No, make sure you understand it. Be like those Bereans in Acts chapter 17. Search the Scriptures daily to test those things that were preached, whether they're so. Okay? That were taught, whether they're so. Okay? When you know, we all have that judgment day. And the Lord's not going to let you say, well, you know, Brother Steve taught me, Brother Jerry taught me. I went to the Chattanooga conference and all 8 preachers that were there all taught me. He's going to say, I gave you a King James Bible. Okay, chapter and verse, pal. Chapter and verse. What do you believe and why? All right. Okay, so again, why do we rightly divide? You know, why do we look at all this? We see the differences here. You know, remission in the past. Again, it started way back there. Passover started at Moses. It was still going over when the Lord Jesus Christ was on this very earth. That's why he went to Jerusalem that day when he rode in on the donkey. The next week was Passover. Okay, he was there. They went to Jerusalem for Passover. How about that? He was killed on Passover, wasn't he? Boy, is that a coincidence. All right? He just happened to be crucified. No, it's not a coincidence at all. We know better. He just happened to be crucified on the Passover. An annual sacrifice, an annual ritual, if you will, that the Jews had been doing for thousands of years. And the Lord Jesus Christ just happens to get crucified on the Passover. Why is he called the Passover Lamb? Okay? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. All right? I beseech you, brethren. I mean, I guess maybe it's because it's my own personal testimony, but I know so many people that have been saved hearing a lost believer's, you know, presentation. But I just ask you, every single time, you know, all of us are here tonight. I think I know most of you pretty daggone well now, and I really enjoy that. We're all getting to know each other well. But I'll always ask you, when was that moment of salvation for you? Okay, can you really remember back in a day when you realized, you know what? Because I realize today that there never has been a time when I saw myself as a lost sinner, doomed for hell. Not worth the gunpowder it'd take to blow me into hell. And when I realized that, I then put my faith in the fact that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross and shed His blood for the remission of sins, okay, He was shedding His blood for my sins, and that's the day that I applied it to my sins. Because, I mean, how many things are like that? Like we say, high school graduation, you know, an hour before the ceremony, you were still a high school graduate. Somewhere in that ceremony, boom, you became a high school graduate. And you kind of had eternal security with that because there's nothing you could do to undo it. You were then a high school graduate. Now, you may not remember the day, the time. I don't. But I can sure remember the things about it. I remember we were in the football stadium. I remember the sun was kind of over here because it was kind of blinding. All right, so it was in the evening. I do remember that part. All right, I don't even remember who was sitting next to me on this side. I remember Chris Watts was sitting on this side of me. He was one of my best buddies. We almost roomed together in college. All right, so I remember the circumstances about it. Okay, you would remember that of your day of salvation. If you're back there, well, maybe it was this time, maybe it was that time. I would subscribe to you that, you know, like Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? The night that I realized I was lost, the first thing I did was try to let pride enter in and convince myself, and I tried to get Brother Moore to even help me convince myself that I'd been saved because I knew rightly dividing, for crying out loud. Wait a minute, I know this rightly dividing. I know Paul's my apostle. I've known this stuff. No, pride was entering in, and there's nothing that Satan uses more than pride, and it's one of the first things when God, if you go back to Proverbs and some back there, when God says He hates things, one of the first things listed in many of those passages, pride. A proudful look. One of the things God hates the worst. One of the things Satan loves to use the best. So if he's working on you right now, hey, you know where you were saved, and I beseech you, don't get this one wrong. We all know too many situations, too many people that just backed out of the driveway and boom, and 2 people in that car get killed. We know somebody that preached up here about a year ago right at this very pulpit, went to sleep that night, forgot to wake up the next morning. We don't know when that time is. I beseech you. And I beseech you on the internet. You know, don't let the time go by. If you like Brother Barry always said, if you died tonight, where would you go and why? You know, it's like we started at the beginning. If your sin got pardoned here by the judge, okay. If you got hit by, or if you got a ticket on the way home, would it be paid for and why? Well, in the case of Paul being your apostle, in the case of the gospel of Christ, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and rose again the third day for your justification. According to the Scriptures would be the verse, but He was raised again for our justification. That's the saving gospel, the gospel of Christ. That and that alone is how we're saved today. Okay? I beseech you, go back. Search your past. Search the day. You know, first of all, do you have a day you're claiming? If you don't, boy, really consider what we're saying. If you do think it's, you know, it's when I was 27. It's when I was 12. If you do think it's sometime, go back to that time. What did you believe and why? When you think you got saved then, what was it you were believing? Because I can tell you, I walked an aisle twice. I walked it once when I was 12. I walked it when I was 14. Why? Because I never had, and all my buddies had, and, you know, my parents started saying, hey, you know, you've never walked the aisle. Well, I guess I better go walk the aisle so they don't ask me that again. I don't want them to think that I'm a bad guy, right? I got baptized when I was 17. Why? I don't know. They had a ceremony. It was the first time that church had ever done baptisms. And you know, it seemed pretty cool. It seemed like the thing to do. I didn't want somebody thinking I wasn't saved. Go back to the day you're claiming as your salvation. What did you believe before and after? All right? Did you see yourself as lost? You got to get lost before you can get saved. Did you see yourself as lost? And if you did you then put your faith? And did you realize there never has been a time where I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, dying for my sins, not just the sins of the world, but my sins. And then He was raised again for my justification. And I'm putting my faith in that and that alone. And if that isn't good enough, I'm just going to go to hell anyway because that's what I deserve. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Thanks for being here this evening.